بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, we are going to be reading from the Sharh of Al-Aqidah Al-Wasatiyah, the original text by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah and the explanation of Al-Imam Abdul Aziz Ibn Abdullah Ibn Baz, rahimahumullah. Before we go to the topic that we're going to be looking at tonight, we're going to go back and look at a little some of the topics that we discussed last week from the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. I'm going to go back and look at some of the topics that we discussed last week from questionnaire study guide for lecture number 5. The first question being, discuss briefly the main point that is taken from this third chapter as it relates to sifat and asma of Allah. The main point from this third chapter. Main point. Anyone? MashaAllah. Shall I answer for myself? No. And that was a very important point, yes. But that wasn't the main point. That was the second point. The first point, now.
The meaning and the truthfulness of the messengers and the affirmation of what they can.
Okay, so the main point of this chapter was the title of the chapter. The main point was the title. The title. And the title is telling you what we're going to be talking about, right? So the main point was the title. Al-Iman bi-Sidq al-Rusul alayhim salam. Yani having iman in the truthfulness of the messengers fi kulli ma akhbaru bihi, in everything that they informed us about. Everything that they informed us about, we believe in it. That it's true. That's the main point of this chapter. That's what Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah begins with. That's what he begins his statement with in this section. The second question, memorize the ayat from 37th surah, 180th ayat. Ayat 180. And discuss briefly its intended meaning as it relates to the sifat and asma of Allah. The ayat and what is its intended meaning. Now, anybody? طيب, فضل. Intended meaning, okay. What's the intended meaning? What is intended by the ayah?
That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from what they attribute to Him.
Okay, Allah is free from what they attribute to Him. More specifically though, first, let's hear the ayah.
سبحانك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
MashaAllah. The answer is pretty much correct, but there's something wrong with the answer. If we have to be meticulous, brothers, please. Please be meticulous. The question is, memorize the ayah. 37th surah, 180th ayah. One ayah. And discuss briefly its intended meaning. What is the ayah, the 180th ayah? That's the ayah. Anybody else memorize this ayah? It's very important. It's very important. It's just a few words. Okay, before we finish this session tonight, I want somebody to recite this ayah to me from memory. Subhana. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. That's three ayahs. Labas, labas, mashallah. One ayah. The three ayahs we need it for sure. But the question is asking for one ayah. Okay, please try to be meticulous. If I say, what did the Shaykh say? Tell me what he said. Not what you understood or what somebody else said. Tayyib. So this ayah is very important. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declaring Himself to be free from what? Al-mukhalifuna lil-rusul. Yani what? Those who opposed the messengers said about him falsely. He is declaring himself to be free from what all of these people who made up things about Allah, contrary to what the messengers brought, what they said about him. He is saying, he is declaring himself to be free from that. So this is, yani, the first ayat of the three ayats in which there is what? There is negation. Allah is rejecting what the people of falsehood have said about him. Question number 3. Discuss the other main point mentioned by the muallif, the author, in this chapter as it relates to the sifat and asma of Allah. The other main point of this chapter. Naam. Anybody? Naam, Talib.
That these attributes represent affirmation and negation.
Okay, that these attributes represent affirmation and negation. A little more specifically, the wording of the Shaykh, he said, قَدْ جَمَعَ. يعني that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala قَدْ جَمَعَ بَيْنَ يعني فِيمَا وَصَفَ وَسَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ. يعني he has combined between that which he has described himself with and named himself with, between, يعني he has combined between الإثبات والنفي, between affirmation and negation. يعني Allah has combined between these two things, affirming about himself names and characteristics or qualities, and negating from himself other characteristics or qualities. He has combined between the two of these things. This is the second main point of this chapter, the combining between affirmation and negation, or negation and affirmation. يعني النفي والإثبات. The fourth question, identify the nafi, negation, and the ithbat, affirmation, in the mention, ayat, plural, of Surah Al-Saffat, 37th Surah, ayat 180, 181, and 182. Where is the nafi and where is the ithbat in these three ayats? Naam, Abdul Wali.
He's negating false attributes.
Okay, he's negating false, that which has been falsely attributed to him. Where? Where is he negating it? 180, in the first ayat. In the first ayat he is negating, yani what has been falsely attributed to him. And the affirmation?
This is lordship in the second ayat.
The second ayat? The second ayat is what? What's the second ayat? وَسَلَامٌ عَلَى الْمُرْسَلِينَ. What's the next ayat? وَالْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Where's the affirmation? Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that Allah is affirming for himself. Affirming for himself, praise. Due to what? Due to his qualities of perfection. So he's praising himself due to his qualities of perfection. So the first ayah is the negation, negating whatever has been falsely attributed to him. And the third ayah is affirming all the qualities and characteristics of perfection. And the Shaykh, if we went back and reviewed, any preview before you come to the class and review after you leave. The Shaykh very clearly stated this. Yani he explained these ayat and he made us to understand the importance of both negation and affirmation, and that in these ayats there is, that's the point of this lesson, that Allah is combining between negation and affirmation. Five. The fifth ayat. For the fifth question, what is the intended meaning of the description of the messengers, the Rusul, as Musaddaqoon? What is intended by describing them as Musaddaqoon? Now, who's saying something? Huh? I didn't do four? I was ready to surrender. Because both of us are old enough to forget, right? No problem. What is the intended meaning of the description of the messengers as musaddaquna with fatta? Musaddaquna with fatta. Naam. Okay, that they speak the truth and live by it. Yani that is the meaning of the sadiq, right? Sadiquna, they speak the truth. Yani, or siddiq is the one who speaks the truth and acts according to the truth. But musaddaq is the ism maf'ul with fatta. Which means what?
That they should be believed.
That they should be believed. Yani that it's obligatory to believe in the truthfulness of what they say. Yani musaddiq is the one who testifies that something is true. And musaddaq is the one that others testify that what that person is bringing is the truth. So the describing the messages as musaddaqoon means that it is obligatory upon the people who are responsible for their actions. It's obligatory upon them to believe in the truthfulness of the messengers. And a person doesn't have an option to believe what the messenger said or not. No, it's obligatory to believe what they have come with. Because what? Because they are sadiqun. Because they are truthful. The only thing that came to them from Allah is the sidq, the truth. So we must believe in what they brought. What's the point here? The point is Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah is trying to make us to understand. In the previous chapter we talked about Allah, that we must believe what he said about himself. If he says that he has a face, he has a face. Because number one, he is, because what? He's the most knowledgeable about himself. And number two, he is the most truthful. And number three, he is Ahsan Hadithan. Ahsan Hadithan. He is the best one in expressing himself. He says exactly what he means. So now he's saying, likewise the messengers. We must believe what they brought. Because they only came from Allah with the truth. So it's obligatory to believe what came in the Quran and what came in the Sunnah. What came in the Quran from Allah and what came from the messenger or the messengers. Past until the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Question number six. The obligation of believing in the truthfulness of the messengers must be accompanied by what? The obligation of believing in the truthfulness of the messengers must be accompanied by what? Abdul Wali.
To act upon
what they came. Acting upon what? It's not enough to say I believe that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is truthful, that he told the truth, that what he brought is the truth. But a person must act upon it. Must act upon it. And this is a part of Iman. Yani that a person has believes in the truth in their heart, expresses it on their tongue, and they act upon it. They live by it. Question number seven. The Shari'ah, yani the explainer of the original text, that is, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, explains that affirmation of the sifat and asma of Allah must be free of what? Must be free from what? Yani the affirmation of the sifat or the names of Allah must be free from what? Must be without doing what? Without adding or subtracting, absolutely, no doubt. But we talked about four principles, remember? Tahrif and ta'atil. And what? And takyif and tamthil. So here the Shaykh said that this affirmation, believing in the names and sifat of Allah, must be iman, affirmation, yani faith, bari'an min what?
Making examples.
Bari'an min at-tamthil. Free of making examples for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from anything in the creation. There's no example of anything in the creation that can tell us about Allah, that resembles Allah. Question number 8. The Shari'ah, yani the explainer of the original text, Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz, explains that tanzih, declaring Allah to be free of resemblance to His creation, must be free from what? Must be, don't guess. Must be free from what? Naam. Talib. خلقه
تنزيها بربا
بريئا
من
التعطيل يعني declaring Allah to be free of any resemblance, any similarity to anything in the creation must be without what? تعطيل meaning we declaring Allah to be free from resembling anything in the creation without denying what he has said about himself, without تعطيل, without denying. Because some people, they want to say he can't be like the creation, so he doesn't have a face. He doesn't have hands. It has to be declaring Allah free from resemblance of the creation, but without denying what he has said about himself, what he has described himself with. Question number 9. Allah praises himself in Surah As-Safat 37:182 because he is Al-Kamil. Because he is Al-Kamil. Because he is complete and perfect in what? He praises himself because he is complete and perfect in what? Naam. Ahmed. Adam. Ahmed. Two Ahmeds. Okay. Where's Mahmoud then?
Where?
Oh, Mahmoud. Now you throw me off. You see people switching places and stuff. Allahu musta'an. Confusing me. Naam. Without what? He is Kamil in what? In his that, in his divine being, his essence, and also? Fi asma'ihi and? Wasifatihi. And because he is perfect, his divine being is perfect, his names are perfect, his descriptions or qualities are perfect. For that reason, he praises himself. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. The last question, give an example of the tariqah, the way of the Quran and Sunnah of nafyun mujmalun and ithbatun mufassalun. Yani what is an example of the nafyun. What is nafyun mujmalun? What is nafyun mujmalun? What do we mean by that? Huh? General negation. Yani the negation that Allah uses mostly in the Quran and came in the Sunnah is general negation. Not negating he's not tall, he's not short, he's not big. He's, no, it's general negation. What is an example of that? Now, Surah Al-Ikhlas, what? Which ayah? Lam yalid wa lam yulad. That's general. It's general negation. Actually, this particular ayah is specific. We're going to come back to this, inshallah. We're going to come back to it specific. But it's from yani what is generally mentioned under negation. Naam. What else? Laysa kamithli shay'un. There's nothing. That's general. There's nothing at all. So it's all inclusive because it includes everything. There's nothing like him. Also, anything else? Fala? And you don't make for Allah any amdad, yani nid, rivals for Allah while you know that He alone deserves to be worshipped. Yani of anything, nothing is a rival to Allah. So that's general negation. These are some examples of general negation. And the Shaykh, he also said, and then we said, give an example of ithbat mufassalun. What is ithbat mufassal? Naam. For specific or detailed affirmation. Detailed affirmation. And when he affirms for himself names and divine qualities, he gives details about that. He gives a lot of details. And some of the Shaykh gave examples of some of the names of Allah. He said, from some of the names that he mentioned, or others besides them. Okay, Al-Aziz, Al-Hakim, Naam, Al-Rauf, Al-Ahad, Naam, Al-Samad, and so on. So he gave, and he said that we saw in the Quran over and over and over again, Allah is affirming for Himself these yani beautiful names and lofty qualities or characteristics in detail. In detail. So this is a general rule, and there are some exceptions to this, and I think we'll come to that yani shortly. But what I want to emphasize here is yani that the rule in the Quran and in the Sunnah of Allah combining between nafi and ithbat is very important. That Allah negates, rejects descriptions, qualifications that are descriptions of defect, that are defective. He rejects that. And he affirms for himself the qualities of perfection. Further, we said that the rejection of yani qualities of imperfection is general. Mostly it is general. There are some exceptions to it. And the affirmation of the qualities of perfection are mostly detailed. Mufassal. Are mostly detailed. That's what we covered last week. That's most of what we covered last week, or the important parts. And this evening, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we want to actually read from where we left off in English on page 27, like somewhere down the page, I guess. And in Arabic on page 23. But just to kind of put things in focus, I want to go back a little bit. I want to go back a little bit to the beginning of this chapter. I want to go back to the beginning of this chapter just to read the statement, the important statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah that relates to the part of the explanation that we're going to do tonight. The part of the explanation that we're going to do tonight, I'm going to just read from Shaykh al-Islam's original statement. That part, so that we can focus on that as we look at the explanation tonight. Bismillah ta'ala. Yeah, please. Jazakallah khair. So, on page 21 in English, on page 21 in English, and on page 20 in Arabic, we're going to go back to the original statement of Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah. Bismillah. I don't know where it's at exactly in Arab, in English, but in Arabic it's like halfway down the page, or the second, yani the first paragraph, line 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. I want to read yani the statement of Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah that we're going to be discussing the explanation of today. And part of it we discussed last week, we're going to discuss it a little bit further tonight, where Shaykh Ibn Taymiyyah says, it's right after the ayat. It's right after the ayat, halfway down the page. He says, قَدْ جَمَعَ فِي مَا وَصَفَ وَسَمَّ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ بين النفي والإثبات. يعني الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو سبحانه وتعالى قد جمع, he has combined in that which he has described and named himself with between negation and affirmation. And then he goes on to say that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, because of them adhering to the truth, they do not deviate from that which the messengers brought. And then he said, فَإِنَّهُ السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, because what they brought is السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. We talked about it a little bit last week in the explanation, and the Shaykh is going to go a little bit further tonight with it. You want this? Yeah. So he said, because that is السِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ. صراط الذين أنعم الله عليهم من النبيين والصديقين والشهداء والصالحين. يعني it is the path, he is describing the people of this path, الصراط المستقيم. It is those who Allah has granted his favor upon from the prophets, and those who are صديق, truthful in their speech and in their action, the شهداء, the martyrs, and the صالحين, the righteous. And then he said, وقد دخل في هذه الجملة ما وصف الله به نفسه في سورة الإخلاص. And so from amongst these ayat, where Allah combines between negation and affirmation, from amongst those ayat is what Allah has described himself with in Surah Al-Ikhlas. And we're going to look at that surah tonight. He says, the Surah Al-Ikhlas equals to 1/3 of the Qur'an. And in it, Allah says, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And we're going to look at that in detail tonight. Then he said, وَمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ وَمَا وَصَفَ بِهِ نَفْسَهُ فِي أَعْظَمْ آيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِهِ. And also, from amongst those ayat in which Allah has combined between negation and affirmation, from amongst those ayat are the greatest, is the greatest ayat in his book. Yani Ayatul Kursi, and then the Shaykh mentioned the whole of Ayatul Kursi, and we're going to look at it in detail tonight. After mentioning these two examples of where Allah combines between negation and affirmation in the way He describes Himself, negating qualities of imperfection and affirming for Himself qualities of perfection. After that, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah said, and it's not in our book, in the Arabic text or in the English, somehow it got left out, but he said in the text, after mentioning Ayatul Kursi, he said, وَلِهَذَا كان من قرأ هذه الآية في ليلة لم يزل عليه من الله حافظ لا يقربه شيطان حتى يصبح. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah said, after mentioning Ayatul Kursi, and for this reason, it is such that whoever reads this ayah, Ayatul Kursi, in a night, any night, every night preferably, right? Whoever reads this ayah in a night, he will continue to have over him a hafiz that will protect him, and shaitan will not be able to come near him until the morning. So that was the end of the text of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah's statement, and then we discussed last week the explanation from Al-Imam Abdulaziz Ibn Baz of the beginning, yani of what he said, and we reached the point that we want to go back to today. We reached the point where he's talking about Sirat al-Mustaqim, and where he begins to give a little bit of discussion about Surah al-Ikhlas, and then discussion about Ayatul Kursi. So that part of the explanation we didn't do last week, but we did read, yani the, I think, this is in English on page 27. I'm going to read the last paragraph that we read last week, and then I'm going to go into the next paragraph. So on page 27, and I'm not exactly sure in English where, but on page 27 in Arabic, it's on page 23, yani the, near the top of the page, second paragraph about. He says, في الآيات, في آيات القرآن وفي السنة أيضا جمع بين النفي والإثبات. Yani in آيات of the Quran and in the Sunnah also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has combined between negation and affirmation. النفي المجمل, general negation, الذي يتضمن تنزيح الرب عن كل ما لا يليق به وتقديسه سبحانه وتعالى أما يقوله أعداء الرسل عليهم السلام وبين الإثبات المفصل من أسمائه وصفاته سبحانه وتعالى. So he said, In ayats of the Quran and in the Sunnah as well, Allah has combined between negation and affirmation. The general negation, which entails or includes the rejecting from Ar-Rabb, rejecting from Allah everything that is not befitting of Him, yani is not suitable for Him to be described with or to be attributed to Him, and also declaring His perfection, yani being free from whatever the enemies of the messengers have said about Him, whatever the enemies of the messengers alayhi salam have said about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, combining between this general negation وبين الإثبات المفصل and the detailed affirmation of His names and His sifat, His qualities or characteristics, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and therefore the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah do not deviate, they do not go away from, يعني ليس لهم معدل أما جاء به المرسلون. So they do not have any chance, it is not possible for them to deviate from that which the messengers came with. فَإِنَّهُ الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ, because indeed it is the straight path. And here Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz describes الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ in these words. And these words are very important because we want to understand. The scholars sometimes explain the same thing in different ways. Many of the scholars said الصِّرَاطُ الْمُسْتَقِيمُ in simple language is العلم النافع والعمل الصالح. That's easy for a person to understand. The Sirat al-Mustaqim is beneficial knowledge and righteous actions. And a person has to have correct knowledge and then they have to act upon it. Beneficial knowledge, not just any knowledge. Beneficial knowledge. Primarily the Quran and Sunnah and whatever is attached to that. And secondly, righteous actions, acting upon that knowledge. This is the straight path. Here, Shaykh Abdulaziz ibn Baz rahimahullah describes the Sirat al-Mustaqim. He says, Huwa Tawheedullah. There's no contradiction. It's just a different manner of describing Sirat al-Mustaqim. He said, Huwa Tawheedullah. This is the last thing that we read last week. Huwa Tawheedullah. Wa ta'atuhu. And obedience to Him. Wal iman bihi wa bi asma'i wa sifati. And having iman in Allah, and iman in His names, and iman in His sifat, His qualities or characteristics or descriptions. Wa annahu la shabiha lahu. And there's nothing that resembles Him. وَلَا كَفْأَ لَهُ and there's nothing that is equal to Him. وَلَا نِدًّا لَهُ subhanahu wa ta'ala and there's nothing that is a rival for Him. So here he describes the Sirat al-Mustaqim as including the Tawheed of Allah and obedience to Allah. And obedience to Allah. And this is very important because yani a person can't establish Tawheed without being obedient to Allah, without obeying His commands and avoiding His prohibitions. So the Sirat al-Mustaqim requires that a person be obedient to Allah. Be obedient to Allah. And that which He has commanded and that which He has prohibited. And then he said, an iman in Allah and His names and His sifat. And then in reference to our topic tonight, he says, included in iman and His names and His sifat, is that he doesn't have anything that resembles Him or anything that's equal to Him or anything that is a rival to Him. That's where we left off last week, and tonight, bi'ithnillahi ta'ala, we want to continue with that discussion of Sirat al-Mustaqim and the discussion concerning Surah Al-Ikhlas and Ayatul Kursi. And the Shaykh doesn't give a lot of detail about them, so inshallah we should be able to finish that tonight. Now, Bismillah. So in Arabic, I know where we're at. We're on page 23, halfway down the page. In English, 28. Jazakallah khair. Al-Imam Abdulaziz ibn Baz continues his explanation of الصراط المستقيم. فهذا هو صراطه المستقيم. This is his straight path. الذي قال الله فيه, that Allah said concerning this straight path, اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. يعني we have been commanded in every rak'ah of every prayer, whether it is an obligatory prayer or a voluntary prayer, that we supplicate to Allah, asking Him to guide us upon the straight path. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. This is the straight path, yani, that we are talking about here. The path that Allah commanded us to ask to be guided upon. In Surah Al-Fatiha, first Surah, 6th ayah. Sirat, and then he says this Sirat here describing the people of the straight path. Sirat al-ladhina an'ama Allahu alayhim min al-nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin. These are the four categories or groups of people, general groups of people, that are the people of Sirat al-Mustaqim. The prophets, the truthful, the martyrs, and the righteous. From Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 69th Ayah. So this ayah tells us who are the people of the straight path. First and foremost, they are the prophets. And the next level of people are the Siddiq. Like Abu Bakr, the Siddiq, radiallahu anhu. He is the best of humanity after the prophets and messengers. And this is the second level of humanity after the prophets and messengers. And he said also included in the people of the straight path are the martyrs and the righteous. After this, the Shaykh says, now he gives a second description of Sirat al-Mustaqim, other than what we read last week, which I reminded you of tonight. He says, Siratuhum, their path, yani the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous, Siratuhum huwa al-iman billahi wa bi asma'ihi wa sifatihi. So what is their path? It is having iman in Allah and His names and His sifat. This is the path of the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. It is having iman in Allah and in His names and His sifat. وَتَنْزِيحُ اللَّهِ عَنْ مُشَابَهَةِ خَلْقِهِ and declaring Allah to be free of any resemblance to anything in the creation. This is the path, يعني الصراط المستقيم, that a person has iman in Allah and His names and His sifat, and that he declares Allah to be free of any resemblance to anything in the creation. وَوَصْفُهُ بِصِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ and also, not only declaring him to be free of any resemblance of the creation, but also describing him with the sifat of perfection, the qualities and characteristics of perfection. Yani, it is incumbent upon us to describe Allah with the qualities of perfection that He has described Himself with, or that His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described Him with. We must describe Him with His qualities of perfection. وَطَاعَةُ أَوَامِرِهِ وَتَرْكُ نَوَاهِهِ and also, part of a Sirat al-Mustaqim is that we be obedient to His commands and that we abandon His prohibitions, that we leave off what He has prohibited. That we be obedient to the commands of Allah and that we avoid, distance ourselves and abandon prohibitions. وَالْوُقُوفُ عِنْدَ حُدُودِهِ and here the Shaykh mentions another tremendous point, وَقُوفُ عِنْدَ حُدُودِهِ and that a person stops at the boundaries that Allah has set. The boundaries that he said, yani, of what is lawful and what is not lawful. Stopping at the boundaries. Don't go beyond the boundaries that Allah has set. هذا هو الصراط المستقيم. This is the straight path. The path of those who Allah has favored. He has blessed them, that is the prophets and the truthful and the martyrs and the righteous. And then the Shaykh says, فجمع بين التفصيل في الإثبات والإجمال في النفي. So here, yani, he goes back to our subject, that is that Allah has combined in describing Himself and in naming Himself between a tafsil, giving details in that which He affirms for Himself, and using general descriptions in that which He negates from Himself. Detail affirmation, general negation. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى Here he goes into Surah Al-Ikhlas. Yani the combining between affirmation and negation. فَقَالَ تَعَالَى قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ Say He, Allah is one. Or Allah is the one. اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ Yani the one who is eternal. Yani who has no need and everyone is in need of Him. لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ And He doesn't give birth to a child nor was He born. وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ And there is no one that is equal or comparable to Him. Surah Al-Ikhlas, Ayahs 1 through 4. After mentioning this, the Shaykh, he says in this explanation, فَذَكَرَ أَنَّهُ Allah. So Allah mentions, and he affirms for himself, this name, Allah. And every name of Allah, as we mentioned previously in passing, that from the rules of Asma wa Sifat, is that all of the names of Allah also include within them a sifa, a quality or characteristic that is derived from that name. While the opposite is not true. Not every description of Allah points to a name of His. And there are some descriptions of Allah that there's no name that matches it. But every name of Allah has within it, yani, a quality or characteristic of Allah, sifa. So he says, Allah here, he mentions that He is Allah. وَأَنَّهُ أَحَدٌ And that He is one, unique. وَأَنَّهُ الصَّمَدُ, the one who is eternal, without need of anyone, and everyone is in need of him. ثُمَّ قَالَ, yani this is affirmation, that he is Allah, that he is Ahad, and that he is الصَّمَدُ. He is affirming these names for himself. And it didn't come in the Quran, Ahad, with yani Alif Lam Ta'rif. It came with Tanween, but in the Sunnah it came Al-Ahad. In the Sunnah it came as the name of Allah, Al-Ahad. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Then he said, he didn't يعني give birth to a child, nor was he born. وَهَذَا تَفْصِيلُ خَاصَ بِنَفْيِ الْوِلَادَةِ لِمَا يَتَرَتَّبْ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّقَائِصِ. He said, this is detailed, that is particular to the negation of wilada, of Allah giving birth to anything. Here is an exception to the rule of general negation. Here Allah is making a detailed negation, that he is mentioned specifically that he didn't give birth to anyone or anything, and he was not born. The Shaykh says, هذا تفصيل, detailed, خاص, particular, specific to نفي الولادة. Specifically he's mentioned this detail of that he doesn't give birth to anything, nor was he born, due to the defects and deficiencies that are included in this description, yani of giving birth. There are many defects and deficiencies that are included in it, so Allah makes a specific negation of this particular quality. ثُمَّ أَمَّمَ, and then he went back to general negation, and he said, لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He didn't, yani, and he didn't, أَلَمْ يَكُنْ, I'm sorry, لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. He didn't, there was no one, nothing equal to him. لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. And this is similar, yani the general negation is similar to the saying of Allah in Surah Maryam, 19th Surah, 65th Ayat, هَلْ تَعْلَمُ لَهُ سَمِيًا. Do you know that he has any sami, yani anything, anyone that is equal to him or similar to him? فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. And the saying of Allah in Surah Baqarah, 2nd Surah, 22nd Ayat, so don't set up any andad, any rivals for Allah, yani to be worshipped along with Allah, while you know that there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped along with him. Don't set up any rivals with Allah while you know that there are no rivals to him. And then he said also in Surah Ash-Shura, 42nd Surah, 11th Ayat, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ, there's absolutely nothing that is like him. These are general negations. This is what he said concerning Surah Al-Ikhlas. Then he goes to to Ayat Al-Kursi, and the Shaykh mentions a little bit, yani, of the descriptions that came in Ayat Al-Kursi, the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah that are mentioned in Ayat Al-Kursi, and he goes into some detail about Al-Shafa'ah, yani intercession. So he says, هَكَذَا فِي آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي وَهَكَذَا, and likewise, this, it is similar, like in Ayatul Kursi, similar to this, that is the negation and affirmation being combined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that which He names Himself with, and in that which He describes Himself with. Some of the scholars said that the names of Allah are all affirmation. The descriptions of Allah, some of them are affirmation and some of them are negation. And some He affirms for Himself, and other descriptions He negates from himself. As far as names, he only affirms names for himself. Alright? And this is yani related to another topic that we might see in the course of this book. Yani that the sifat of Allah are categorized from one angle as sifat that are thubutiya, that are affirmed for Allah, and sifat that are salbiya, that are negated from Allah. So the scholars of Sunnah, sometimes they refer to the sifat of Allah in these two categories, those which are affirmed for Him and those which are negated from Him, thubutiya and salbiya. And other words or other expressions are also used. But the point is that there are sifat of Allah that are affirmed for Him, and there are sifat of Allah that are negated from Him, and it's incumbent upon us to affirm what He affirms and to negate what He negates. هكذا في آيات الكرسي, Allah in آيات الكرسي, He has affirmed for Himself certain names and characteristics or qualities, and negated from Himself yani certain characteristics or qualities, sifat. He says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Surah Baqarah, Second Surah, 255th ayah. And all that came after this is from this ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah. He says, yani, that Allah, there's nothing that deserves to be worshipped except Him. He is Al-Hayyu and He is Al-Qayyumu. So here we have three names of Allah. Allah, and we have Al-Hayy, the one who has perfect life, and Al-Qayyum, the one who sustains Himself, maintains Himself, and maintains everything else. And He sustains Himself, so He doesn't need anyone else. And He sustains everything else, so everything is in need of Him. That's the meaning of Al-Qayyum, as some of the scholars explained it. Then he said, so here there's, now perhaps you can say there's affirmation and negation. He's affirming Allah for Himself, and He's negating La ilaha illa huwa. Yani He's negating uluhiyya to anyone other than Himself. And then He's affirming names, Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, and then He's negating La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm. Yani He is not overcome by slumber nor sleep. The Shaykh says, فَنَفَى عَنْهُ السِّنَةِ وَهُوَ النُّعَاسِ. He has negated from Himself السِّنَةِ, and that is yani sleepiness, slumber. Yani not complete sleep. Shaykh Saleh Fawzan said it means the sleep that only reaches the eyes, as opposed to nawm is heavy sleep that reaches the heart. He has negated from Himself both of these. He says, السِّنَةِ هُوَ النُّعَاسِ, sleepiness. والنوم هو ما ثقل من النوم, يعني a heavier sleep. لأنه, يعني he has negated these from himself, لأنه سبحانه موصوف بكمال الحياة. Because he is described with the perfection, life, the perfect, يعني perfection of life. His life is perfect. And here there's a point that we want to note here is that from the rules of Asma wa Sifat is that negating any quality or characteristic from Allah in and of itself is not perfection. The perfection is in affirming the opposite of what is negated. And when Allah negates that he is affected by sleep or slumber, this is to affirm that the perfection of his life is not affected by sleep or slumber. So the point is what? That negation in and of itself is not yani praiseworthy. What's praiseworthy is to affirm the opposite of that. What is the negation for? It is to affirm the opposite of it. Yani negating imperfection to affirm the opposite characteristic of perfection. The opposite characteristic of perfection. So he says, he's negating slumber and sleep from himself. لِأَنَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ مَوْصُوف بِكَمَالَ الْحَيَاةِ. Because he is described with having perfect life. لِأَنَّ النُّعَاسِ وَالنَّوْمِ نَقْصٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ. Because this sleepiness and sleep is a defect in life. وَاللَّهُ مُنَزَّهٌ عَنْ ذَلِكَ. And Allah is declared to be free of any defect. وَهُوَ الْحَيَّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ. He is the one who has perfect life, who doesn't die. He doesn't die. وَالنَّوْمُ نَوْنٌ مِنَ الْمَوْتِ. And sleep is a type of death. Sleep is a type of death. And Allah doesn't die. So this is the characteristic of imperfection that Allah is negating from Himself due to what? Because He just affirmed He is Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum, that He has perfect life. Therefore, yani He's negating from Himself any type of imperfection in life. Then He says, the next part of the ayat, لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ. To Him belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth. يعني مالك كل شيء. يعني Allah is the one who owns and yani possess and controls and masters everything in the heavens and in the earth. So this is affirmation for Allah of what? Of the greatness and the magnificence of His yani power and His authority, that He owns everything in the heavens and the earth. Then He says, من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه. Who is it that can intercede with Him except by His permission? So in a sense, you can say, it is clearly the meaning here, مَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَشْفَعُ يَعْنِي لَا أَحَدْ يَشْفَعُ. The meaning here, who can intercede? This is, the meaning is, no one can intercede in His presence, عَنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ, except with His permission, general permission or specific permission. يعني لا أحد يشفع عنده إلا بإذنه يوم القيامة والرسل والصالحون يشفعون بإذنه سبحانه وتعالى. And he said the meaning of this ayah is what? There is no one that can intercede with him except with his permission on the day of resurrection. Here's the allusion to what? That what about in this world though? On the day of resurrection, no one can intercede except with his specific permission. And specific permission will be given to the messengers and to the righteous, and they will intercede by his permission on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Then he says, أَمَّا فِي الدُّنْيَا, that's on Yawm al-Qiyamah, but what about in this world? فَاللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ أَمَرَ النَّاسِ جَمِيعًا أَنْ يَدَعُوهُ وَيَخُصُّهُ بِالدُّعَاءِ. يعني Allah has commanded the people, يعني the believers, all of them, to supplicate to him alone and to single him out with dua, with supplication. وَيَشْفَعُوا لِإِخْوَانِهِمْ فِي اللَّهِ فِي الدُّنْيَا, and that they should intercede for their brothers, brothers in Allah, yani brothers in Islam, in this world. Allah has commanded in the dunya that the believers intercede for one another, that they speak up for one another and look out for one another. He has commanded this. وَكَانَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَشْفَعُ إِذَا طَلَبَ مِنْهُ الشَّفَاعَةَ إِذَا طَلَبَ مِنْهُ أَحَدٌ أَنْ يُشْفَعَ أَوْ يَتَخَلَّصْ مِنْ كُرْبٍ أَوْ نَحْوِ ذَلِكَ فَيَدْعُوا لَهُمْ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. Yani the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, whenever these acts, when he was requested to intercede for somebody, when he was requested by anyone, yani to make intercession for them, or to help them to get away from, to escape from some difficulty or hardship or whatever is similar to that, then he would supplicate for them, عليه الصلاة والسلام. Then he would supplicate for them. Then the Shaykh, he says, وَأَمَّا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ. He goes back to, and we're talking about shafa'ah in this world. Allah has commanded the Muslims, the believers, to intercede for each other, to help one another, to support one another, to defend one another, to look out for one another. But as far as in يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ, that's a different matter altogether. أَمَّا يَوْمُ الْقِيَامَةِ فَلَا أَحَدْ يَشْفَعُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِي. No one can intercede for anyone except by the permission of Allah. أَمَّا فِي الدُّنْيَا يَشْفَعُونَ بِإِذْنِي الْعَامِ. In this world, people can intercede by his general permission. He has given general permission that the believers intercede for each other, that they speak up for each other. So a person doesn't need specific permission. In this world, you should intercede for the believers. لِأَنَّهُ أَذِنَ فِي الشَّرَعِ أَنْ يَشْفَعَ الْمُسْلِمُونَ بَعْدُهُمْ فِي بَعْدٍ. Because he has given permission in the law, in the Sharia, that the Muslims intercede, some of them, yani for one another, that they intercede for one another. So he said, من يشفع شفاعة حسنة يكون له نصيب منها. And whoever intercedes a good intercession in a good matter for someone, then he will have a reward. He will have some reward for doing so. This is in Surah An-Nisa, 4th Surah, 85th Ayah. Meaning that Allah is telling us here, he's encouraging us to intercede for one another. Look out for the believers, and you will get a reward with Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. أَذِنَ لَهُمْ سُبْحَانَهُ وَحَثَّهُمْ عَلَى هَذَا. He gave permission and he encouraged the people in the dunya, the believers, to intercede for one another. وَعَلَى التَّعَاوُنْ عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. And that the people cooperate with one another in righteousness and piety. وَالتَّنَاصُحْ وَالتَّوَاصِي بِالْحَقِّ. And that the people advise one another and enjoin upon one another the truth. وَالشَّفَاعَةُ مِنَ التَّوَاصِي بِالْحَقِّ. And this interceding for one another is an aspect of يعني تواصي بالحق, enjoining truth upon one another, ومن الإحسان, and goodness towards one another, فهي جائزة في الدنيا بإذنه العام. So it is permissible to intercede يعني for one another in this world based upon Allah's general permission, يعني to intercede for one another in the dunya. وفي الآخرة لا تصلح الشفاعة إلا بإذن خاص. But as far as in the next life, then yani interceding or intercession is not going to be valid except with a special permission from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لا أحد يشفع إلا بإذنه سبحانه. No one can intercede except by his permission. ولهذا يتقدم الناس يوم القيامة إلى آدم ونوح وإبراهيم وموسى وعيسى عليهم السلام كلهم يعتذرون حتى يتقدم نبينا محمد عليه الصلاة والسلام فيسجد بين يدي ربه تحت العرش ثم يحمد الله بمحامد عظيمة يفتتحها عليه ثم يؤذن له يقال اشفع يشفع. And here he gives an example on the day of resurrection when he said no one will be able to intercede except with special permission from Allah. So the people on that day would step forward. They would go forward on Yawm al-Qiyamah to Adam alayhi salam and ask him yani, to intercede for them from the difficulty and the horror of the standing on the day of accounting. And they would go to Nuh alayhi salam and Ibrahim and Musa and Isa alayhi salam, may the peace of Allah be upon all of them. Every one of them will excuse himself. Yani, I'm not the one for this. I don't have permission to intercede on this matter. Until the people would go to our Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, and he would respond, and he would prostrate in front of his Rabb, under the arsh of Allah. And then he would praise Allah with magnificent words of praise that Allah will inspire him with at that time that he didn't know before. And then he will be given permission. It will be said to him, intercede, and your intercession will be accepted. All of this is a side note dealing with ash-shafa. That's not like any focused on the ayat itself, but it's part of the ayat. So the Shaykh has taken advantage of the opportunity here to mention the importance of intercession, the benefit of interceding for one another in this world, the importance of Muslims looking out for one another, and then the seriousness of the matter on Yawm al-Qiyamah, that nobody would be able to speak up for anybody except by special permission from Allah. The Shaykh, he closes by saying, فَهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ آيَةُ الْكُرْسِي أَعَظَمُ آيَةٍ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ. This ayat, that is Ayatul Kursi, yani it's named Ayatul Kursi because of the mention of the Kursi in the ayat. And what is correct is that the Kursi is not the Arsh. The Kursi is not the Arsh. Even though it has been said by some that the Kursi is the Arsh, it's clear from authentic hadith that the Kursi is not the Arsh, that these are two different creations of Allah. So he said, this ayah, Ayatul Kursi, is the greatest ayah in the book of Allah. Fiha ithbatun wa nafyun. It contains affirmation, yani the qualities of perfection for Allah and the names of Allah. And it contains nafyun, negation of any quality or characteristic or description of imperfection or whatever has been falsely attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he begins with al-hayy al-qayyum. Yani after Allah, La ilaha illa huwa al-hayyu qayyum. So the first affirmation is Allah, and the first negation is La ilaha illa huwa. La ma'bud bihaqin illallah. No one deserves worship, or nothing deserves worship except Allah. And then he goes to the affirmation. Al-hayyu qayyum. Hadhi ithbat. These are names that are affirmed for Allah. Al-hayyu al-qayyum. The one who has perfect life, al-qayyum. The one who maintains himself and maintains everything else in the creation. هذه إثبات لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. And he is not overcome by sleepiness or slumber, and he is not overcome by sleep. He says هذا نفي. يعني حي القيوم is إثبات. Next one is negation. لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض. To him belongs everything that is in the heavens and earth. هذا إثباتٌ. من ذا الذي يشفع عنده إلا بإذني. هذا نفيٌ. So you can see in this ayat there is affirmation and negation. Affirmation and negation. Affirmation and negation. Shaykh Islam Taymiyyah mentions these two examples because of the importance of Surah Al-Ikhlas. Yani that it is pure Tawheed. And he mentions Ayatul Kursi because of what it contains also. And then after this he mentions 100 and something, 11 ayat from the Quran containing names and qualities of Allah. Yani the next few chapters are going to be just the mention of ayat from the Quran and so many hadith. I think 16 hadith that contain the qualities and characteristics of Allah and the names of Allah in the Quran and in the Sunnah. All of that, these are just samples of the combining of Allah between affirming for Himself qualities of perfection and the beautiful names that belong to Him and negating from Him qualities of imperfection. But he started with these two examples because of the greatness of this surah and the greatness of this ayah. And perhaps, yani, that's a hint to us of the importance of these verses from the Quran, this surah and this ayah, that a person needs to understand them well and needs to reflect upon them carefully, yani, regularly, and recite them, yani, all the time. We should recite them all the time. One of the hadith that came, I'm not quoting it yani verbatim, but one of the hadith that came concerning Surah Al-Ikhlas is that a man was reciting, one of the companions heard a man reciting Surah Al-Ikhlas and repeating it. And he went to the Prophet the next day as though, like, he kept saying the same thing over and over again. Like, this is not, it's not that important. And the Prophet told him that this is equal to one third of the Quran. This Surah Al-Ikhlas is equal to one third of the Quran. Don't belittle it. Don't think it's nothing. And if a person, and in another narration, an authentic hadith, a man was appointed to be the leader of a detachment, an army detachment. And the leader of the army is the person who leads the prayer. Yani the leader of the Muslims is the person who leads them in prayer. The ruler leads the people in prayer. I mean, that's how it used to be. So he kept, he would always recite a surah and with it, Surah Al-Ikhlas. And the people didn't like it. So they complained. And the Prophet ﷺ told him, go back and ask him why. And he said, because I love this surah because it is a description of Allah. Or something to that effect. And the Prophet said to go back and tell him that, yani, because of your love of this, Allah loves you. Yani, these are indications of the importance of certain things in the Quran. Yani, the whole of the Quran is the speech of Allah and it's all magnificent. But some of it is superior to others. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah begins with this surah and this ayah because of their superiority over other surahs and other ayahs in the Quran. So to close, the Shaykh says, the last one I read, مَنْ ذَلَّذِي يَشْفَعُ عِنْدَهُ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. Who is it that can intercede except with his permission? Yani, no one can intercede except with his permission. This is nafi, negation. Yani, the negation of anyone having the ability to intercede with Allah due to his greatness and his magnificence and his power and authority. No one, absolutely no one, no exception, no one can intercede with him except by his permission. The prophets and messengers and the righteous and the martyrs will intercede by permission of Allah on Yawm Al-Qiyamah. This shows the greatness of Allah. And again, in the negation here of anyone having the ability to intercede, the benefit of it, the praiseworthiness of it, is in affirming the opposite. Yani, that it affirms Allah's greatness and His power and His authority to the extent that no one can intercede except with His permission. Then he says, يَعْلَمُ مَا بَيْنَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَمَا خَلْفَهُمْ. He knows what is before them and what is behind them, of the past, present, and future. He knows everything. His knowledge is perfect. This is ithbat, the perfection of the knowledge of Allah, of everything. وَلَا يُحَيْتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. And he goes to the end of the ayat, وَصِيَ كُرُسِيهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حَفْثُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ. Yani that, لَا يُحَيْتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. That the people, they cannot encompass anything of the knowledge of Allah, إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ, except what He wills. And here, it seems as though the Shaykh, he just went through it. He didn't mention negation, affirmation. But certainly, we could see that لَا يُحَيْتُونَ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنْ عِلْمِهِ. The negation of anyone being able to encompass the knowledge of Allah. And that, yani, the opposite of it is what? The affirmation of the vastness of Allah's knowledge. Yani, the negation here is to affirm the perfection and the vastness of Allah's knowledge. And also, Shaykh al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, said, إِلَّا بِمَا شَاءَ. This is also affirmation of Allah's mashiyah, that Allah has will. This is also affirmation that Allah wills. وَسِيَ كُرْسِيهُ السَّمَوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Yani, his kursi extends or expands over the heavens and the earth. Over the heavens and the earth. And this is ithbat, affirmation, which shows, yani, if his kursi extends over the heavens and the earth, and that's just his kursi, Then what about the whole kingdom of Allah and the greatness and the magnificence and the power of the one who created it and owns it and controls it? وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حَفْظُهُمَا وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ وَلَا يَعُوذُهُ حَفْظُهُمَا and his protection and preservation of the heavens and the earth and everything in the creation doesn't tire him, doesn't make him weary, doesn't get him tired. This is negation. And it's negation that shows what? The perfection of Allah's power. That he doesn't become tired, he doesn't become weary. Everything is easy for him. وَهُوَ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمُ This is ithbat, affirmation of the names Al-Ali and Al-Azim, the Most High and the Most Great, or the Supreme. And then the Shaykh closes. I wasn't paying attention to the time, but we're still good. And then the Shaykh closes, he says, فَبَيَّنَ كَمَالَهُ وَأَنَّهُ الْعَلِيَ الْعَظِيمُ So Allah, in this, He has made clear His perfection. وَأَنَّهُ الْعَلِيَ الْعَظِيمُ He is the Most High, Al-Azim. And some of the scholars, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen mentioned it in a simpler way that's easier to follow. He said that Al-Ali, from the sifa that is contained in the name Ali, is Al-Ulu, the highness of Allah, the loftiness of Allah. And he said Al-Ulu is of two types, Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen said in one place. He said it is Ulu al-Dhat and Ulu al-Sifat. Ulu al-Dhat and Ulu al-Sifat. That Allah's highness is His divine being. His essence is high above everything in the creation. And Ulu al-Sifat, His qualities and characteristics and descriptions are lofty or high or greater than everything else. And some scholars explained it a little bit differently, but the meaning is still the same. Ulu al-Dhat and Ulu al-Qadr and Ulu al-Qahra. That Allah's names and sifat are high, and Allah's power, His dominion, His dominance over everything is high in addition to the highness of His that. Shaykh says, وَأَنَّهُ كَامِلَ الْحَيَاتِ That His life is perfect. From Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. وَأَنَّهُ الْمَالِكُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ And He is the one who owns everything. لَهُ مَا فِي السَّمَوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ That He is the owner and controller and master of everything in existence. And then the Shaykh closes by saying, فَالْوَاجِبُ After reading this Ayatul Kursi, and all of these descriptions of Allah's greatness and His magnificence and His power and His authority, and the affirmation of these lofty names for Him, he says, فَالْوَاجِبُ الدَّرَاعَةُ إِلَيْهِ وَالسُّعَالُهُ سُبْحَانُهُ وَتَعَالَى وَاللُّجُوءُ إِلَيْهِ فِي كُلِّ شَيْءٍ So what is obligatory upon us? Is that a person humbly, submissively turns to Allah and begs Him and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seek refuge in Him in everything, in every matter. And if we know this is a description of Allah in one ayah in the Quran and what came in Surah Al-Ikhlas, then it is incumbent upon us to humbly turn to Him and beg Him for our needs and ask Him for whatever it is that we need. And to turn to Him and seek refuge in every situation or circumstance. بِيَدِهِ تَصْرِيف الْأُمُورِ In His hands is the control, the disposal of all affairs. وَلِهَذَا يَقُولُ سُبْحَانَهُ And for this reason Allah, the one who is free from imperfections, He says, أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ Call upon me, supplicate to me, and I will answer you. Supplicate to me, and I will answer you. That's a promise from Allah. If you call upon Him, He will answer you. And His answering doesn't necessarily mean that He's going to give you what you ask for. But it means He's going to respond. As the Prophet ﷺ said, in one of three ways. Either He's going to give you what you ask for now, or He's going to store it up for you as a reward equal to that in the next life, or He's going to turn away from you something that was decreed to befall you of harm. The companion said, إِذَنْ نُكْفِيَ If that's so, that He's definitely going to respond in one of these ways, then we're going to ask a lot. And the Prophet said, Allahu Akbar. More than you can ask, Allah will give. Call on me, I will answer you. Surah Al-Ghafir, 40th Surah, 60th Ayat, وَيُقُولُ And Allah also said, وَاسْأَلُ اللَّهَ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Ask Allah from His bounties, His favors, His blessings. Ask Allah, He has all of this. And He's telling you, ask. So why we don't ask? How often we are not making dua? listen to what I said. How often we are not making dua? And how much time do we spend in the day that we don't ask Allah for anything? Are we not in need? And Allah is commanding us. This is the command. Fil amr. Al amr yaqtadi al wujub. Was'alu Allah. He's commanding us to ask Him from His bounties, His unlimited treasures that He's ready to give. In Surah An-Nisa, this fourth surah, 32nd ayah, wa yaqulu jalla wa ala, and He also says, wa idha sa'alaka ibadi anni fa inni qareeb. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an. Surah Baqarah, second surah, 186 ayah. And when my ibad, my worshippers, ask you about me, He's saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah says, He answers Himself. He says, I am near. I am near. And I answer the call, the supplication of the one who calls upon me, if and when he calls. And you have to ask. You have to call upon Allah. And if you call, then Allah answers. This is the end of what we wanted to say for tonight. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us to take these matters seriously, to understand that this is the foundation of our deen, that the aqidah is the foundation of Islam. And the tawheed, and especially tawheed al-asma wa sifat, is the core of our aqidah. And the tawheed of asma wa sifat is the area of tawheed that most Muslims don't know about. Most Muslims don't know about. And so this is of the utmost importance. A person has to take it seriously. We have to study this more than we study for an exam in college. Or if we didn't go to college in high school, or whatever school we went to, or whatever course we took, or whatever trade we studied. This is more important than all of that. Because those things are important, no doubt. This is more important. Because our aqidah, if it is correct, then we have a chance. And if it's not, we're in trouble. May Allah grant us, give us the ability to understand the importance of studying this matter, and to to give time to it, and to devote ourselves to it. It's not just something that we're going to come and sit for an hour once a week, but rather, every day a person should. This book is a very brief explanation of Aqidah Wasatiyah, and there are other explanations. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has a more expansive explanation. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen has a tremendous explanation that if a person were to read from them, they will benefit a lot. Sheikh Salih Fawzan's explanation is translated into English, no excuse. Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih Uthaymeen's explanation is translated into English in two volumes, about 1,000 pages. And if somebody took the time to translate that, nobody has an excuse not to read it. Again, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there's any questions or any corrections or any comments, we'll take them inshallah after we dismiss. And whoever would like to stay, inshallah, we have a little bit of refreshments that we can share with each other. We'll take the questions at that time. Bi idhnillahi ta'ala. بارك الله فيكم وجزاكم الله خيرا.